Our next speaker is also a wonderful speaker and very talented, and we're happy to have Janet Perry. She has over 28 experience years of human resources, and including 11 years at Newton Welby Hospital. She also worked in a nonprofit research organization. She worked at a biotech company focused on personalized health. She also helped out an outplacement experience. She now is, for the last 4 years now, is a director of HR at the Carroll Center for the Blind. And she has been in an HR director role for over 13 years, serving all facets of HR as a solo practitioner. Janet was named the 2002 Blind Employee of the Year in Massachusetts, an annual award for excellence given to a blind or visually impaired person by Massachusetts Commission for the Blind and the Carroll Center for the Blind. She was selected from a group of over 130 individuals in 1992 for the Excel Award while employed at Newton Wellesley Hospital. And Janet has her BS degree from HR Management from Northeastern University, as well as two certificates from Bentley College, one in HR Management and Advanced HR Management. She's been the co-chair of the Town of Lexington's Personal Advisory Board, and she's held this for over 20 years, and this is a volunteer position. She's been elected a town meeting member in Lexington for over 30 years. She's a member of Lexington's Commission on Disability and Lexington Lions Club, each of which she has served for 7 years, and she doesn't sleep.
I noticed.
So we're happy to have her come to the podium and teach us more about resumes. Thank you.
What's a resume to you? What's the meaning of a resume?
A resume is just put like your name, your school, your like your before school, before you like your graduation thing.
Okay.
It's like what places where you worked before.
Good.
And your work history.
So
it's an introduction.
Another common expression for a resume, it's your marketing tool. As strange as this is going to sound, you are the product and you're marketing yourself. So you're selling yourself to the companies that you're applying to. So you want to make sure that your information on your resume is accurate. You want to make sure that there are no typos on your resume. And I always suggest having someone, at least one other person, review it. We're all guilty of going through our own information that we've typed or put in the computer or whatever and knowing what should be there and just kind of sliding right through it like it is there. So it's always good to have someone check it and make sure that your information is accurate. This tool that you're using, this resume tool that you're using to sell yourself, when resumes come into companies, and I know Richard mentioned they get thousands. We're a little smaller organization at the Carroll Center, but I just posted a position a while ago for a controller, and I've probably gotten about 100 resumes. When I worked in outplacement and when I did some recruiting for a recruitment firm, I actually worked through a test with people. And what we did was I gave everybody, a resume, just a fake resume, and I said, okay, I'm going to time you, I'm going to give you 30 seconds, read through the resume, and I'm going to stop you at 30 seconds. Most people get through about half to two-thirds of the first page. What does that mean? It's not that the resume is too long, because you have to have at least a page most of the time, but what it means, though, is that my resume needs to grab my reader's interest pretty quickly, within the first half to two-thirds of the page, because if that's all that somebody's going to have time to read, whoever the person is in HR that reviews the resumes, you want to make that really catchy. For those of you who are younger and don't have necessarily a lot of experience yet, your resume will be pretty straightforward, where you will be just, putting your information, your name and phone number, email. A lot of people are leaving their address off of resumes now, too, just as a cautionary thing. People are a little insecure about putting resumes on, so that's... And then some people feel like they're being judged. Well, if I live in Lexington and I apply for a job in the Cape, they're going to look at me and go, whoa, forget it. That's too far. That's something that you can make a personal decision on, whether or not you want to put your address on. Definitely, obviously, you need your phone number and your email, though, on your resume. So simple resumes would have that information, and then you would have, if you just graduated from either high school or college, you might have that information first, you know, education, and list your college or your high school, and then any of your experience, you know, if you did a summer internship or a summer position with a recreation department in a town, or you worked at Friendly's or Burger King or something like that, and so you would list that. You know, that's a pretty straightforward type of resume. For those of you who have, though, been working, you've graduated from college, you've been working a few years, the focus you want to emphasize, again, in that sort of 30 seconds that someone has to read your resume, you want to focus on your experience that's relevant. This is when you make the decision, okay, when does the education go first? When does the experience go first? So for me, having been in HR for as long as I have, at this point, no one's going to really care about my education. My experience is going to be more important. A while ago, probably a long while ago, I did reverse those two and put my experience first. A lot of pieces of resumes are really based on what you've done and what you're looking for. The main thing that you want to keep in mind is you want to, again, make sure that you are appealing to the reader. If you're applying for a position in information technology and maybe your experience is a little lighter and it's not in that area, but your degree is, again, you'd want to put your degree first. Keep those things in mind when you're pulling, when you're putting your resume together. The important thing that you want to do too, if this is the first time you've done a resume, you want to make sure that you pull all the information together that you need. What do I need when I'm doing my resume? Well, you know, the information that you know about yourself, you're going to have that, the basic information on the top, your name, your email, your phone number. But what about, when did I work at X company? That kind of thing. So make sure that you pull together everything that you have before you sit down and actually work towards preparing, you know, your actual resume. Years at a company. And then think about what you did. So the thing with resumes nowadays is, especially if you've had, you know, some years of experience, you want to not only talk about what you did, the other thing that you want to do is to indicate accomplishments. You know, I could say something like, hired, you know, 40 people at the Carroll Center in different professional positions, or if you worked in a company where you came up with an idea, saved the organization money, you can put that in. So think about things that you've accomplished in a particular position. You can also use those in your career highlights. The old days on a resume, you used to put objective at the top. Mm-hmm. Some people still do. That's actually sort of changed and morphed into what's now called summary. Career summary. That's the important thing. Again, it's that first half to two-thirds of the page. That's going to be up near the top, you know, under your name, etc. Tiffany saved her last company $30,000. You know, that's pretty impressive. So things like that, you know, that you want to highlight. And our first attempt at resume writing, sometimes it's like, you know, and I'm sure you're probably hearing me say, oh, what did I do? You know, there was no worthy, or what did I do that would be an attention getter? Really think on it hard, because we've all done something in the positions that we've been in that we're proud of. Just go back, think over the times that you were there. You know, maybe look over if you have an old job description from there. It might bring to the frontal part of the brain the something that you did there that you were particularly proud of. You know, that's kind of a newer piece to the resume. Again, it's a summary. And the objective is sort of outdated now. And the reason why that is because if you apply to the Carroll Center and you apply to a job I have open as a controller, and you have on your resume that you're looking for a finance position, well, great. I mean, because that's what this is. So it sort of doesn't really tell anybody a lot that that's your objective. Or, you know, I get a lot of resumes with objectives on them still, and they say things like, oh, I'm looking for a job where I can interact with people. I love working with people. And I've heard people say that today, too. When you sit down and think and talk or work on your resume, you want to think about, how can I make this document separate me from everyone else? With the volume of resumes that are sent for different positions, that's really your goal, is to make you unique. to make you rise above the rest of the resumes that are in the pile, to actually make yourself look great on paper enough to, as Richard said, to be called, you know, to be called in for an interview, when in fact you get that personal opportunity to sell yourself once you've made it past round one. So that, again, that you've got your personal information on the top of your resume, you've got the summary, which is a really important piece, and then it's, you know, the decision of the employment history first or the education first, whichever is the best thing for your particular situation. I always recommend regarding employment history, not necessary to put the months that you were there, but years. So if I worked at the Carroll Center since April of 2010 and I'm still there, I would just put 2010 to present. But as long as, you know, as long as you have the years for when you're there, that actually suffices. When it comes to education, I graduated from college many moons ago. So I'm obviously not interested in putting the year I graduated from college down. Why do you think that is?
Discrimination.
Yeah.
Very good. Because of?
Age.
Right. Because someone's going to do the math, right? They're automatically going to think, okay, she graduated in, let's say, 76. Even though that's not right. Okay, she was 22 when she graduated from college, so that means she was born in 1954. Well, okay, so now we know she's 60. Don't give anybody any additional or any reason to discriminate by putting years next to your education. Of course, if you graduated this year or last year, or the year before, you know, it's not going to harm you. Just remember that in 10 or 15 or 20 years to remove it when you're looking again. The other thing about resumes, they're active documents. So they're constantly changing, right? Mine changed when I went to the Carroll Center because once I'm there and I'm doing the job for now 4 years, that's an addition to my resume. So it's a work in progress. It's something that you always want to just keep fresh. You never know when one of those people on LinkedIn is going to identify you and say, wow, I'm going to call Tabitha and say, gee, I think, you know, you'd be great for this position. Would you be interested in coming in to interview? So good to keep it fresh because you don't have to say, oh my goodness, well, I need to update my resume, so how about 2 weeks from now? I've actually had people say that to me. So you definitely want to keep it fresh. Another piece that actually has sort of gone by the wayside in terms of inclusion on resumes is interests. Interests, hobbies, that whole section. If you focus on what's relative to the job, then you would want to leave that off. That's really what what potential employers are looking for, is what's important on this resume that is relative to the job that the person's applying for. Let's say you want to have a skills section. So at the end of your resume, you want the potential employer to know, like Richard said, Excel. I'm proficient in Excel. I'm proficient in Word. I'm proficient in PowerPoint. Access, those types of things. If those are related to the position that you're applying for or are something that's needed for that position, I definitely recommend putting them on there. I see a lot of things, a lot of resumes that say, I know Outlook and things like that, email, account stuff, things like that. Most people you would assume would have that now. So, but anything that again makes you stand out above the rest, you want to put that on a resume. And also, someone asked me about resume length. The old theory was one page and one page was it. Well, after you've been working for as long as I have, even if I just put the name of the organization on and nothing else, it would be more than one page. So I certainly haven't jumped around a lot either, but that's definitely gone by in terms of what's seen as okay now. You can have a two-page resume. I wouldn't go too much beyond two. You know, if you have to go over to a third page. I once received a resume that was 10 pages long. It had like a page on each job that the person had done. So I guess the best advice I can give you on putting together your resume is keep it simple, but keep it important. Right.
Short, sweet, to the point.
Right.
I got to update my resume, and I have to, you know, let's say I get a volunteer job or whatever. So I go to write the volunteer job. My whole thing is, how do I make sure that I have it formatted right so it's matching up? Because I don't want, like, one job to be, you know, on top of the other one, and then my most recent job was like, what do you recommend for blind people that obviously can't see the right way to make sure everything is underneath everything the way it's supposed to be studied. Mm-hmm.
Clearly, formatting is something that is a personal choice, but there's some things you want to stay away from. Like, I've had some resumes come in that are probably in number, maybe, I don't know, 5 font, because they're trying to cram it all on one page. It's tiny, tiny, and again, that's going to go by the way of
trash.
Page 1, because if it's too hard to read, and, you know, certainly I have a CCTV, but just if the appeal is that it's too hard to read, and the way it's set up, the margins are like an eighth of an inch on either side, it's clear that the person's just trying to cram a lot of information on one page. That's a turn off for me, I'll be honest. As far as the visual piece goes, I can't think of anything else other than to possibly have a sighted person give you a hand with it, either a job developer or a friend, or you do want it, you know, to look appealing, so it would probably, and there's a lot of people that would do that for no charge. I have often, in the past, looked at resumes. I honestly don't have much time to do that anymore, but there are some free resume services out there that I'm sure, or, you know, like I said, sighted friends that might be able to just look it over and tell you, yeah, that looks good, or no, you've got this indented. But you also brought up another good point about the volunteer position. If you have a combination of both employment, you know, paid employment and volunteer work, you would separate those to put the employment, you know, the paid employment first, and then you could put, you know, volunteer services or volunteer activities, and then list those. And those are very important. Or you heard when Marianne read my bio that I had a lot of volunteer stuff in there at the end in terms of what I do in my community. That does speak well for the well-rounded person. When a person, when a recruiter or whatever is looking at that, at your resume, there's a lot to be said for doing some volunteer services. So I would recommend any volunteering that any of you have done, we definitely recommend putting that on your resume.
Sure. Okay. Gaps.
Gaps in your employment?
Your employment.
Good question. Long gaps or...
Well, what if you took a year off for whatever reason?
What I would recommend with that, I mean, obviously on your resume you have to cover it. Sometimes if you take a year off, remember how I talked about you just put the years and not the months?
Yes.
The years sometimes will cover that up. If it's part of one year and part of another,
yep.
So I worked till 2012 here and then I started in 2013, so I left one company in July and I started the other one in July, but it was a whole year. That won't be noticed, but if it's something that would be a gap that would have, you know, a disconnect between the years, you can explain it in your cover letter. You know, I took a year off to go to school, or I took a year off to, you know, to raise a family. Or, you know, some people have chosen not to explain it in a cover letter, and, you know, it's on the resume and it can be noted. If I saw somebody that had a big gap, I would have a question. But if I liked the rest of their resume, I would at least phone screen them. And then that question would be answered at that point. So I usually don't discard somebody for that, because a lot of people take time off for education, for family.
What would you say to include in a cover letter that would make you more appealing, or what should you add in that so you're not redundant with everything in your resume?
So I'll tell you, and this is just me talking now, because I'm sure every recruiter does this differently. I look at someone's resume first and then their cover letter. I have, in the past, over my 28 years of experience, looked at so many cover letters and gotten so excited about a candidate and then looked at their resume and found that it didn't match. Like, you know, oh, I did this, this, and this in the cover letter, and then I'd get to the resume and I'd be like, where is it? First of all, if they really did it, it should be on the resume. But it makes me believe that maybe that they didn't. What I would recommend doing in the cover letter is bulleting or highlighting, again, the accomplishments that you'll have on your resume, or the pieces of your background that would lend themselves well to what you're applying for. If you apply for a social work position, you know, if you have some volunteer work that you did in the area or some internships, you can certainly cite those and any kind of specific things that you did and or learned there. It's to highlight and to set you above the rest, just like your basically your resume is.
Thank you.
Thank you.